Yep, that's the title of the sermon. Wait. I never thought about that as a favorite four-letter word. But,
better than
that's right. Wait. Yes, there's another kind of wait, isn't there? I love that story, Joel, that you shared with us. I always love your stories. They're so pointed and just really brings the focus right to Jesus. I was a little confused. I saw the photograph on the wall, and I thought, oh, that person that Joel's talking about looks really a lot like Betty. Betty Adams looks so much like her. And I thought, well, I guess, the photo wasn't real crystal clear, so I thought, some people could look similar in that way. Anyway, so I guess it wasn't Betty Adams right on the... Okay, very good. But neat to see that God is always at work and how God works and interrupts our lives. And when we're careful, we get to see those kinds of things that God does daily, weekly, monthly. And recording those things is probably something I should do better, and I wish I did better. But for sure, I love to see God interrupting our day and intervening in our day and just kind of getting our attention as we go throughout the day, saying, I'm here, I'm doing stuff. I remember this past December, Randy's wife, Barbie, we call her, and you remember that maybe a year ago that Pastor Randy from Honolulu Christian Church came and spoke here. Anyway, Randy's birthday is in December, and so Barbie shared threw him a surprise party, and it was a fun thing. You know, it's one of those surprise parties when everyone knows, right, what's going on, except for the person that the party's for. And the challenge is not to let that person know, right? How many of you have ever had a surprise party or threw a surprise party for somebody, or been at a surprise party, and you kind of had to zip your lip, right? You can't say anything, and you're interacting with that person. You just want to say something, but oh no, you can't say anything. And I remember that Barbara at the party. I went to the party was after church one day, and she had this whole thing set up. Was it after church? I can't remember anyway. Anyway, the whole idea was you're going to have a family portrait. And so she got new clothes and matching clothes, and Randy colored his hair. Or maybe I shouldn't say that. This is being recorded. So anyway, it was all exciting, and that was the pretense, if you will, for the party. And so they went to this place, and it was just a big surprise, and it caught him off guard. But and then, of course, during that whole time, the Barbie and the kids have to tell these little white lies to kind of play along, right? And maybe I shouldn't say that in church, but there was this waiting that went on, and during the party, they just share how difficult it was to kind of keep that secret going. But you had to just kind of zip your lip and wait for something to happen. Wait for a time when you can now say, okay, this is what it's about, yes. And then there's other kinds of waiting we go through. There's another kind of waiting kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum. As we've shared here before, Pastor Seki's wife, Ray, is suffering from cancer, stage 4 cancer. And she went in healthy to the doctor and went in just for a regular annual checkup. The doctor found a spot on her lung, found a cancer in her hips, went right away to surgery to take care of some of those things. And they said there were a couple of options. One is chemotherapy. Another one is some other kind of advanced therapy. And she said under the advanced therapy, she probably has maybe 2 to 3 years to live. So there's another kind of waiting. There's another kind of time where we just pause and we stop, and our soul just has to wait. And in the meantime, what is God doing in our lives? The question for today is, do we simply wait Or are we pressing into what the Lord wants to do in our lives? Life is full of waiting. We wait for school to finish at 2 o'clock when we're young, right? And then we wait, another kind of waiting is we wait for school to finish at graduation. And that's at age 18, or if you're like me, at age 59. We wait 9 months for birthday party. And we wait 70 years to retire. So life is full of all kinds of different waiting. And in our scripture today, we have another kind of waiting that Jesus calls his disciples to do. But he calls them to wait. And as we take a look at our story today, I'd like the Lord to just really minister to our hearts and bring us to a place of what does it mean to enter into waiting rather than push it away. Our Father, you have purposes for waiting. You do not call us to wait merely to pass the time or to produce an irritation in us. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to grow in another step of maturity, that next stepping stone, Lord, that you want us to take, recognizing that even that stepping stone isn't the final destination, that there will be another one after that. Lord, produce in us a posture of being able to wait, especially to wait on you. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are, as we're going through the book of Luke, we encounter a scripture in our journey. Right after the transfiguration takes place, which we covered the last 2 weeks, we look in Luke chapter 9, verse 38, and we have a couple of thoughts here that come to mind. Luke 9, 38, now they're kind of walking down the mountain. They were up on a high mountain. Now they're walking down the mountain, and there's some more processing that's going on. So 9:38, we actually have three scriptures that we want to take a look at today, because like the other scriptures in the Transfiguration, this event that's going on here requires a cross-reference of all these scriptures to really understand what's going on. So, Keanu, do we have those scriptures? Oh, 9:38. Okay, why don't we go ahead and read this together. This one is from the book of Luke. Why don't we read that together? Ready, go. A man in the crowd called... Oh, wait, now. That's not the one. That's the wrong one. Okay, 9... Okay. 9:37. Funny, I read this and read this, and then I'm not paying attention to the scripture verse. So I'm sorry about that. Where is it? Oh, no, it is 36. No, I'm sorry, it's 36. 9:36. Can you bring up 9:36? I apologize for this. I tend to see the 6 as an 8. So, okay, there we go. That one's better. Okay, let's read that together. Ready? Go. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. So they had to keep this to themselves. And now that they just... Were they just really neat people that just say, let's just keep this to ourselves? Actually, Jesus told them not to tell anybody. So let's take a look at Matthew 17, if we can bring up the Matthew 17 verse. So if you have your notes page, by the way, you can maybe you can go ahead and make that correction in Luke 9:38. It should be 9:36. So Matthew 17:9. Okay, let's read that together. Ready, go. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Okay, so don't tell anyone. Jesus tells them not to tell anyone, but there's a particular time when that happens. Okay, how about the next one, the Mark verse, Mark 9, 9 and 10. Okay, ready? Let's read that. Ready, go. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone that they had seen what they had seen until the Son of Man had been risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. So here we have a situation where the disciples are actually instructed not to tell anybody. It's kind of like that surprise party one, right? Where you get this invitation to a surprise party and you say, shh, don't tell anybody. And we don't know exactly why Jesus said not to tell anybody. But we do. Commentators on the Bible conjecture why that would be, and that is to understand fully what the transfiguration is about, they would have to have the perspective of the resurrection as well. And so you add the resurrection and the transfiguration, you have a fuller knowledge of what that's about. Now, it's tempting for us to just kind of jump forward to the resurrection and say, okay, this is the whole package, and it's very tempting to do that, and I want to do that as well. I want to just kind of paint pictures of the spiritual world and things like that. But I want to just instead pause and have us journey with the disciples. Because the disciples, as we look over here, Jesus tells them, don't say anything until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. And so they did. They kept the matter to themselves. But look at this. They do not even know what rising from the dead means. It's kind of like getting the birthday invitation and saying, okay, be quiet until some event happens. And you don't even know what that event is. When you stop and you pause and you ask and you take a look at what Jesus is asking them to do, and realizing Jesus didn't even tell them, he told them what it was, but the disciples don't understand what rising from the dead is because they don't understand that the Messiah is supposed to die and then rise from the dead. That's not even in their picture. They're thinking, what does that mean, rising from the dead? You and I might be told to wait in certain situations until some unspecified thing happens. And we're going to find that this is not really that unusual. So the idea of waiting is really not an unusual thing. In fact, it's kind of a pattern of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, Jesus told the man who he healed of leprosy, don't tell anyone. The man went ahead and disobeyed and told all kinds of people, and because of that, Jesus' ministry was hindered. In Mark chapter 7, verse 36, after healing a deaf and mute man, Jesus told the people around there, don't tell anybody. But the word spread all over the place. Okay, so they were not as obedient. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here we have Jesus once again, as you fast forward, telling the disciples to wait. Jesus has a particular timetable that he works with, and here we have a timetable as well. There's this period between the transfiguration and the resurrection that the disciples have to work with. And we take a look at the struggle here that the disciples probably have, and that is they're working with unknowns. So let me ask you a question. Think about a situation that you have had to wait. Think about how many times you have had to wait about an unknown. Maybe a test result from the doctor. Maybe you have a dread disease, and the outcome is unknown. Maybe you're on this pathway of finance, and the outcome is unknown. So the disciples are dealing with something that we deal with all the time. And if we run too fast, we read past this thing, we realize, wow, I live this thing all the time. This thing of just kind of waiting on the Lord's command and not even quite knowing what he's talking about. And so, you know, it's one thing to have a bad day and you wake up the next day and it's a good day and you think it's going to be a good day the next day, and it's a bad day. And it's one thing to have that kind of thing. It's another thing to have an infinite unknown. We have no idea where this is going to lead. So this is the one of the hardest things on this journey is waiting. So the question is, how can we benefit from waiting? And what are the benefits of waiting, and how can we enter into that? Well, I want to offer a couple of benefits here if you look at your notes page. What does waiting do? What does waiting do? And if you have your notes page, I'd like to just offer this first one here. Waiting builds anticipation. Waiting builds anticipation. So you can just imagine what the disciples are thinking. They got to log that thing in the back of their mind, this event that happened called the Transfiguration. It's logged in the back of their mind, and now they're just waiting. And there's a certain amount of anticipation. It's kind of like these weekly announcements we have about the spring banquet, right? We can't wait for that to happen, right? And Tina can't wait for it to be finished. So there's a lot of different ways we wait, right? The hymn conference coming up. Not just preparation, but a lot of certain advertisements. Back here it talks about a band that's going to be playing 10th Avenue North, and a very popular band, who's the speaker's going to be in this anticipation. King David had to wait 13 years. He wasn't king yet, but he had to wait 13 years between the promise that he was given to the time he was anointed king, actually became king. And during that time, Bible scholars will tell you that he learned critical lessons for leadership so that when he became king, he was able to govern better. So waiting with anticipation can be a very positive thing, and especially if you know what you're waiting for. Now, in this situation, it's a little bit different because Peter, James, and John aren't really sure what they're waiting for, but at least there's a certain sense of anticipation that God's going to reveal something. And we can have that as well. We can sit with this, that God's going to reveal something. I was meeting with a man one time. He's a man from born in Korea, came to the United, was raised in the United States, and he went to Korea and was ministering there. He's been ministering there for quite some time, and he was talking about North Korea, South Korea situation and the Olympics and the certain dynamics there. Because I asked him, what was it like for what do you think about the North Korea and South Korea athletes marching in and their teams having a common team and like hockey and things like that. He says, God is up to something. God is up to something. And as we wait, one of the things that we know is that God is up to something. That's the idea of anticipation. So the first thing is waiting produces anticipation. It can also produce, number two in your notes, dependence. It can produce dependence. So Jesus says here, wait until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. Okay, just that word alone, right? That phrase, raised from the dead. You're going to think, wow, somebody's going to be raised from the dead. Now, he raised somebody else from the dead before. This has got to be awesome. And so but again, as we saw here, they didn't know what raised from the dead means. So can you picture this? Peter here is saying, hey, James, isn't this incredible? The Son of Man is going to be raised from the dead. And James saying, yeah, that's awesome. What does that mean? Peter goes, I don't know. But there's a spirit of dependence. It's kind of an unfinished picture. But that's a lot like you're in my life, isn't it? We have certain things that we finished, a lot of things that have yet to be finished. It's an unfinished picture. But uncertainty can be very uncomfortable. Uncertainty can be very, very uncomfortable. We're taught in life-saving class many years ago that when you're going to rescue somebody, a person who's panicking and drowning, don't just go up to them and try to hold their hand and try to, do you think you're going to bring them in? They're going to grab onto you, and they're going to try to climb up. And what happens when they do that? Where do you go? You go down. And it's common for the person who is trying to rescue, for the person who's drowning, to drown the person who's trying to rescue them. And instead of being in a place of dependence, we are now grasping for our own power, and we end up bypassing the waiting process. I'm ministering to a friend. Many of us know that many marriages are in trouble these days, and there are so many painful things that are going on in marriage. And I told him a story, hopefully to encourage him, of a marriage that was broken many, many years ago, a long, long time ago. And after being divorced for 20 years, the couple came back together again. And that's just an amazing thing. My point of that is, you and I don't know how this ends. We're not given the for sureness how this ends. And so we want to be able to say, you know what? We're just going to wait. We're just going to wait and depend upon the Lord. Thirdly, waiting can produce patience. Waiting can produce patience. So the disciples do not know what rising from the dead means as far as the Son of Man, much less when it's going to happen. If I told you something, like when I was working toward my degree, I had what is called a degree plan. And you aim for something, and there's a particular date when that's done. You're tired, but it kind of gets you going. You can see the end, finish line in there, and then you finish, and you accomplish it, and you have a sense of a job well done. But the disciples don't even have an end date. They have no timetable. And of course, we have a different reckoning of what it means to be late, don't we? What it means to be on time and what it means to be late. I know, and you know, when you work with the Japanese department, their sense of time is a little bit different, right? If you tell them, well, let's meet at 10 o'clock, what time do they mean you're going to meet? 9:45. And I was working with talking with a family a while back, and this person said that when you said you're going to meet at 10 o'clock, it means you're going to meet at 9 o'clock, an hour ahead. Of course, we have Hawaiian time here, right? So we say we're meeting at 10 o'clock. What time do we mean we're going to meet? I was going to say 10:15, but okay. Now we know. Now who said that? Oh, we got when the sun is right around there, yeah. But that's how many cultures are, right? Noon is whenever, anytime between 11 and 1. But there's the idea of patience. God builds patience into our lives as we wait. 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says this. Let's go ahead and read that in the italics there. Ready? Go. God is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. See, God's time and our time are not the same. But he is patient with you. Abraham and Sarah got impatient, and so they took matters into their own hands. God promised them to give him a son. Kind of a long time, God. And we're really old, so you know what? Let's just take matters into our own hands. And another son was born, and you know the story. There have been consequences ever since. Jacob worked many years to marry the woman he wanted. The Bible says it seemed like only a few days because he really loved that woman. And then after he worked all those years, what happened? He got the wrong woman. That's right. He got the sister. What's up with that, God? Can you imagine if that was you? King Saul got impatient in waiting for Samuel to offer a sacrifice. And so King Saul himself offered the sacrifice. And it cost him his kingship, cost him his throne, cost him his life, and it cost him the life of his family. And yet, if we wait on God, God is ready to give us blessings. blessings, really eternal blessings, but people have given up on God. People have given up on God because God didn't answer them when he wanted, when the way they wanted their prayers answered. God, they gave up on God by saying, where is this second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? And so they give up on God. And American mentality is even worse because we're so activity-driven. The clock and the calendar is so much of who we are that quite honestly, if we were to be honest, waiting is an irritation in our lives. And yet, Bible says that patience produces character and God's will. So what can waiting do? Waiting builds anticipation. Waiting can produce dependence, and waiting can produce patience. Waiting can also make you think deeply. Think deeply. And here's the question that I would ask you to ask. Think about this. You might want to highlight that or circle it. It says, as I wait, how is God forming my soul? As I wait, how is God forming my soul? I think this is the most important question of all. Because if you're not asking this question, there's a strong likelihood you're going to end up blaming somebody, even blaming God. We're all going to have these problems going on, and we're going to find somebody to blame. Well, if we can blame somebody, and then it just kind of makes our soul satisfied that we can just blame somebody. When you're moving too fast, you won't grow deeper, and you won't realize that that you can answer that question in your heart. And the problem is in here, not out there. Recently, I was talking to a godly Christian pastor who, in his younger days, had taken some drugs. And certain kinds of drugs, you may not be aware of this, but marijuana in particular, we'll talk about this actually next week. Next week I'm going to talk about the problems of demonization, demon possession, the spiritual world that affects us right here and now today. But this is one of the things. A lot of people don't realize that marijuana can trigger psychosis in people. And once it triggers it, it's permanent. You're going to be like that forever, for the rest of your life. Marijuana, he had psychosis, he had anxiety, and a man of God, he talked to him and he says, your problem is not the drugs, anxiety, and the psychosis. And then the man said, what do you mean? My problem is not the drugs, psychosis, anxiety. It is my problem. This godly man said, your problem is sin, Satan, and separation. So this man did not look at the surface problems. He looked at the root. And if we go back to what happened in Genesis, we find Satan deceived Adam and Eve. It produced sin, and it produced separation. Out of that taproot come all of these things. Now, I'm not saying we don't take care of these other kinds of symptoms that we need to. We do. And there are ways we need to take care of these things. And it's a lot of different things, okay? So I'm not simplifying it. But in this particular case, this man understood where God was leading him. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And in his situation, many of the problems went away. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not a one-trick pony kind of guy. I'm not going to go out and you have a problem and I'm going to say, well, just pray about it and all your problems are going to go away. I'm not that kind of guy. If you talk to me, you know that I try to be very holistic in all of the things that I do. However, really it is about talking about the root of the problem as well. And as we wait, the thing we can do while we wait is to think deeply and trace problems back. Why are we where we are today? Why are we can talk about, try to figure out the world's problems, but let's just work on our own problems. why do I struggle with the things I struggle with? And so I want to prompt you as you think about that. Why am I like this, and what do I do about it? So here's what I'd like to suggest, if you can continue to, if you have your pen and pencil and you have your notes page. What can we learn? My question would be, what can we learn from God's word on how to wait? What can we learn in this particular situation? Well, first of all, we saw the disciples talking to each other, right? We might be critical about that. We might say, well, the disciples are talking to each other about, what does that mean? I'm going to say, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. We can talk to each other. We should talk to each other. I had a really difficult problem 2 years ago, and I talked to my encouragement team, my E-team, and you guys have heard me talk about this many times. These are people who have given themselves to help one another, support one another. And we share all kinds of things. We share very deeply. And we're committed to not make a judgment on one another. And we're committed to not make a judgment on another person if there's a conflict going on. Because we haven't heard that other person's side of the story. But we draw together and we're able to share. And we can process our souls before the Lord. So while waiting, we can talk it out. While waiting, another thing we can do is journal. Write it down. You'd be surprised how your thoughts clarify themselves and God speaks to you as you journal. Go ahead and get a journal. Write it out. There's a well-known saying that says, thoughts disentangle themselves while flowing over the lips and out through the fingertips. So write down the things that you do. A lot of times, if you look at my journal, which you I hope you won't, you'll hear all kinds of things that you'll never hear me talk about from this pulpit. Is there a way to write that? You know, the pound sign, exclamation points, and all of that kind of stuff you see in the comics. That's what goes in my journal. God moves in and ministers to my soul. Oftentimes, freeing me, convicting me of my sin, bringing me to a place of repentance, speaking to me about what I need to do next. Okay, Stan, you know what to do. Do this. Journal. So you can talk to other people. You can journal. You can talk to God. Talk to God. We call that prayer. After you do your talking to God, say, God, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? Oh, God, I'm praying for this person and that person and everything because they're really messed up and everything. And then you just stop and be still. Stop. Be quiet and listen. And so I want to offer this one to you. To stop talking in your prayer and just listen. Allow God to speak. And wait. He will often speak to you through a scripture. He might speak to you through the words of a friend, bringing words of a friend to mind. He might just say, stop it, or something like that. And finally, search the Word of God. There are many more, but I just want to offer these right now. Search the Word of God. So we can talk to friends, we can journal, we can talk to God and listen, and search the Word of God. Not long ago, I was talking to a friend who is involved in a really severe conflict. And I walked him through. I said, this is the verse that comes to my mind. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. He looked it up and said, let's look it up and let's read it together. It says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of our Father in heaven. So I said to him, if you can, I'm going to ask you to challenge you right now to pray blessings upon this person that you're so angry at, that you feel deserves curses rather than blessings. Pray blessings upon them. I'm saying, I'm going to start. And I started blessing them. Praying blessings upon blessings upon blessings on this person. And this person came back. He said, Lord, I pray blessings. You'd bless this person in this way. Bless them in this way. Bless them in this way. And we concluded just tears. Just tear-filled time. A few days later, I called him and we talked. And I said, so what has God been speaking to you about? And he said, pray blessings upon this person. And that's what he's been doing. Praying blessings within this conflict. Well, while waiting, you think deeply. Don't just plow through and think that the waiting is just something you need to overcome. Just tough it out. Be a Rambo or a superhero. Wait. I'd like to ask the band to come up, and as they do, I want to mention that all these things work together. Anticipation, dependence, patience, and thinking deeply all work together. They can all happen concurrently. You can be anticipating a time to meet with people that you need to connect with. And that's what I've been doing actually this past week, because I've been so involved in school, I haven't really spent a lot of time with, in-depth time with people. So I've been doing that, and it's been such a rich time. Such a rich time. And I encourage you to do that. To allow your soul to be filled with anticipation. Reach out in dependence on God. Let God form your character in patience, long-suffering. And take time to think deeply about what's happening. Father, I pray that your Spirit would truly reach down deep into our hearts. You are the God who wants to bring transformation from within, Lord. And when you do, you bring freedom and you bring restoration and healing and recuperation. And Father, I pray that you would be transforming us from within that way. Father, do your marvelous work as we wait. In Jesus' name, amen.